This will be the concluding part of our message entitled Self-Examination. Let me ask you to turn again to 2 Corinthians 13. Read with me the text that has established the precepts upon which we will proceed with that subject. There is a premise drawn. And that premise is that God provides so that we may receive. Examining ourselves is to determine whether or not we who make that examination are found to be in harmony with the faith that God gives so that we may receive His Son to the saving of our never-dying soul. Paul writes to the announced Christians at Corinth, and today, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that ye are not reprobates. Let me add quickly, and we could have said this yesterday, this morning, last week, we can say it next week. God already knows whether we are in the faith. God does not need an examination. He knows. We need to know. We left off this morning and pick up this afternoon with this subject now before us. The course the text enjoins upon us. What is expected of us based upon what the text says to us? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And to do this, we do so with the earnestness, genuine, sincere desire to know. Our own renewed spirit needs to be comforted and reassured. With earnestness of spirit, or with a conviction of our disposition. Our disposition represents what are we disposed to do. What are we encouraged to do? What are we motivated to do? What do we do? And why? This examination in earnestness of spirit is a very weighty, solemn matter. It is worthy of great care and not to be pressed casually or passed over without careful consideration, but do it formally, willingly. When the favor of God and the glory of His Son Jesus Christ and the salvation of our soul are all concerned with what this examination reveals. To be blessed with continual favor, God looking favorably upon our walk, the works that emanate forth from us, the evidences that are presented, not only before God, but before men. As the glory of Christ is magnified in our lives, that is, our actions reflect the great glory that Christ has earned meritoriously, with his willingness to take our place and pay our penalty and receive our punishment and set us free. What we do is a reflection upon the value of his great glory. And of course, it revolves around also the outcome or the salvation or deliverance of our own soul into that eternal bliss that awaits those that are truly found to be in the faith. In all of this, there cannot be too much of intensity of thought and earnestness of our own spirits. This is a most serious matter. It's not casual, not to be taken nonchalantly as if it don't really matter. It does matter. Apathy in the performance of this duty. What is the duty? Examine thyself. Apathy or lackadaisical attitude toward it would equate to moral insanity. It is morally insane for a professed Christian not to be willing to examine the Scriptures as God's test for his own standing. And this should be done with all the awakened powers, the renewed, enabled powers of the human soul that has been delivered. We're to do this examination with the Word of God as our one and only final rule. We're to examine based on what the Scriptures teach. Do not examine and compare yourself with yourself. There can be temporary reformation of your conduct. And you can look at that, if that were the case, and look back and say, well, I'm better than I was last month. You're comparing yourself with yourself. I'm not as bad as I used to be. That's not what God says. God says examine yourself based upon what the Scriptures teach as to whether or not you have that actual standing before God. Not as if you're trying to get religion in the natural sense of the term. Don't compare yourself with yourself. For you are not to make yourself at any period in your life the standard of your spiritual examination. You're not measuring yourself by yourself. Nor yet are you to examine yourself by comparing your actions to the actions of other people. For God has given you no direction that your aim, that his aim for you is to be like this person or that person. You're not to compare yourself to yourself, nor to another. Nor are you to run this course of action with human tests and human standards. For these are all defective. And they're not to be relied upon, but with the Word of God is your standard. That's how you're to examine yourself, by what the Word of God teaches. This, the Word of God, is the true mirror, the real touchstone, the only infallible standard of true holiness, the Word of God. It is a Bible question. Are you in the faith? It is a Bible question. And therefore the book, the Bible, is the only place where you can find a settled answer to that question. Besides, how foolish would it be to test yourself by any other means except the Word of God? When the true ordeal of the test is at hand, right here, and it's within your power, for it, the Word of God, is the standard that God will use when He weighs in judgment. Would you not want to use the same standard by judging yourself now that God will use? Remember, there will be lots of folks that will one day stand before Him with these kinds of proclamations. Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? In Thy name have we not cast out demons? In Thy name have we not done many wonderful works? And His answer will be, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. The standard is God either knows you in the full agreement with His will, or He knows that you never were in full agreement with His will. In this matter, then, of this self-examination, it is forever, always to be kept in view that we appeal to the law and the testimony. That's the language that God uses. And if our views or our convictions and our belief will stand justified here when we compare to the law and the testimony, then we are truly and savingly in the faith. In this examination of yourselves, not only are you to do it with earnest and genuine desire to be found favorable before God, but you're to do it in the spirit of prayer, in the disposition of submission, of prayer to the Father for direction, not only as to how to examine yourself, but how you would then correct those flaws that are uncovered. And the source for the correction is the same source that would be in the examination, the book. God tells you how to walk. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty straightforward. That's not ambiguous. That's not without clear meaning. If you love me, keep my commandments. You profess to love me, demonstrate that. Walk in the light as He is in the light. That's the Word of God. It is needful to make this examination, as we said, an object of prayer. Prayer that God may open your eyes so that you may be able to discern clearly and correctly. When you look to the Word to find the guidance for examining yourself, you need to be prayerfully asking God to open my understanding that I might see Thy ways as You presented them to me, that I might discern Your truth and distinguish between what men might imagine and what You've actually said, Lord. Help me, Lord. Pray that God not only will allow you to see clearly and correctly, but that He will make you faithful, that you may not flatter yourselves in this examination. Pride is your enemy. You need to pray that God will keep you from prideful uplift of yourself. Pray that God will aid you by His Spirit, that you may not be led astray by natural feelings, which would be against the exercise of examining yourself as to whether you're in the faith. You can't allow. By that I mean you cannot depend upon the results of your own emotional output, your natural feelings, when God tells you to examine yourself and then tells you to do it according to the Scripture. Listen, grace is the only thing that will conquer your human nature. It is your human nature to flatter yourself and to imagine that you are somehow worthy of. But God says no. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Grace only will conquer human nature and give you enabling power for this necessary duty of examining yourself, that God will guide you through this process. Examine yourselves from time to time. This is not a one-time event. This examining yourself is an exercise that is often to be repeated. We may suffer loss. We may become ensnared. Religion may be neglected and fade from our practice. We may even relapse into a sinful pattern of life, or go back into the world, even to the point of turning aside from the service to God. Have you ever had any of those tendencies? Missing church in the Lord's appointed time? And because God didn't slap you down, your human nature says, I got away with it. And that encourages you to try that again. And the more you miss obeying God, the easier it comes for your human heart to deceive you into believing, well, I really am not doing anything too bad. I'm just missing church occasionally. No. You're demonstrating that you're not walking in the faith that you claim to possess. The fruits of your life are defective. And you are deceiving yourself into believing that you're not doing anything wrong. But preacher, I only have certain times to do this chore or that chore. No, you've got 168 hours every week, just like every other human being has 168 hours every week. God doesn't make undue demands on you for 4, 5, 6 hours a week of service to Him. It's not unreasonable. And I don't care what you think your human flesh has to do, none of that is more important than obedience to God. None of that is more important than your obedience to God, for you are the one that are bringing injury and hurt upon yourself by blatant, open rebellion against God. And pretty soon you'll find it easy to turn aside. I've seen it, and you have too. Individuals who made profession of faith for a time walked carefully and diligently and gave every indication of a true connection and relationship to God. And things began to take place in their lives. And sometime later, you look around and those people that you were so encouraged about early, you haven't seen them in months. And then years pass. Where are they? They're back in the world. Were they in the faith? Possibly, but probably not. For the Lord's word teaches us that every son whom he calleth, he chastens, that we might become obedient in his service. God will lay the rod to you if you're his child, if you disregard him, and you'll pay the price. Hopefully, prayerfully, that corrective action will awaken you and bring you to your senses. You need to examine yourself frequently, from time to time. If all these possibilities that I've listed here, and many others besides, if these are real, then should we not examine ourselves often, frequently? For what purpose? To see if we be in the faith, if we are walking in accordance with our profession. History records that some godly persons have made this examination a daily exercise. This examination that we said should be done often or frequently, we're not putting time on it, but some have determined to examine themselves daily whether or not they be in the faith. And if prayer and praise should be constantly regarded, so would it be well for examination to accompany prayer and praise. If prayer and praise ought to be done frequently, self-examination, therefore, ought to be done frequently. Do you think through this process of examining your life in relation to what the Word of God teaches you that your life ought to be as often as you pray? Why not? Do you examine yourself as often as you praise God for some wondrous thing that He's done in your life? Why don't you? Conclusion to that thought, we cannot regard and attend, see to it, to this examination too often. You can't overdo this. I'm not telling you to do it every day. Some have. But I'm telling you that you need to examine yourself often, frequently, just to keep your edge whetted so that the axe is sharpened, ready to be used. The sound of the axe against the wood, if the axe is dull, sounds different than it does when the axe is sharp. And besides that, not very much wood gets chopped if all we hear is the sound of the axe. Be careful. And then, finally, let us bring some matters to a conclusion. I want to share with you in these final thoughts some motives by which this course of examination may be enjoined or burdened upon you for you to do. First motive that I want to talk about, we should regard this duty of self-examination as just that. It is a duty. There's no equivocation in this word. Clear. The word says, examine yourselves. Didn't say examine yourself if you find it convenient to do so. It didn't say examine yourself if you feel inclined. if you just decided that it's time. It says examine yourself. That doesn't put any time frame on that. It is a constant and continuous examination that is in view here. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. It is a duty because God commands it. That's what makes it a duty. God commands it. He knows the vast importance of His children examining themselves frequently. He knows the benefit that comes to us when we obey Him and examine ourselves. It's not to make God any more wondrous or holy or righteous, it's to improve our lives. God has commanded for us what is in our own best interest. It is for our good that He tells us to do this. God sees it as essential to our growth and to our well-being and in our capacity to honor Him. It is absolute and it is binding on all Christians. It's not something that is relative that you may or may not do it according to your own mood. It's a duty, and it's a constant duty, and God requires it of you. We should regard this examination not only because it is a duty, but it is for our own comfort. Not only does it honor God because He commanded us to do it, but it's for our own good. It's for our own comfort. It is for the comfort of the traveler to know he's on the right road. It is good for the mariner who sails the oceans to know that his course is correct. It is good for the heir to make sure that his title to an inheritance is unquestionably valid. How much more that we know the soul is right for eternity. Listen, we sing this song. When I can read my title clear. Now you think while I read this, we sing it. When I can read my title clear. He's claiming that he has a title to an inheritance. But he's not talking about just he who wrote the will and wrote me into that will, but he's talking about me. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear. Because I know my title is clear and wipe my weeping eyes. Let me read that again. Now you think about it. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. Self-examination is for your comfort and it brings you to that point that the songwriter had in mind when he wrote those words. So not only is self-examination commanded by God, and not only is it for our comfort, but it's also for our safety. It is connected with our safety. If on examination of ourselves, we find that matters are not right, all may be made right. You're still alive. You're still breathing God's good air. If you find flaw in your conduct, you can correct that. You can pray God for deliverance from your own dereliction of duty and disregard for your own comfort and disregard for your own safety, and ask the Lord to help you get your life in harmony with His will. After all, if you're His, then you are His child. And He has an interest in you. Now is the time, professed child of God, to get the mistake of your dereliction of duty corrected. Not only can it be done, it may be indeed, perhaps, now or never for you. Do you have any assurance that you'll wake up in the morning? Today may be the only day. I'm not saying these things to arouse human emotions in you. I'm just reminding you that God's Word tells us that our life is but a vapor. It's here today. The winds of distress has come and takes it away. If you're not walking pleasing to God today, then today is the time for you to correct your own misbehavior. And it may be the only day you have left to do so. Then, with these thoughts, we urge the admonition of this text. What admonition? Examine yourselves. We urge that admonition upon all, for the consideration of all people, on the young Christian and on the aged believer, on Christians of every grade and of every order, for it is alike needful to each and every one of us. It doesn't matter in this regard as to whether you've been saved a week or 50 years. Every one of us need to examine ourselves frequently. It's to our advantage. So we would exhort, therefore, even those that are not children of God, that we would urge the seeker of a true religion to attend to the self-examination of his own life, to see what hinders that individual from coming to the truth, as it is seen in the Scriptures, personified in the person and work of Jesus Christ. What is the stumbling block in your way to true peace? Why are not you as happy as you ought to be? Is your life out of order? Is that God's fault? Have you examined yourself? Have you been permitted by the grace of God to see the flaws in your own walk and in your own disposition or mood or attitude? Have you asked God to correct those flaws in your life? Have you asked God to fortify you against the wiles of Satan, who is out to disturb you every day of every life? Satan, if you're God's child, Satan knows that he cannot have you, but he's delighted to disrupt you, because a disrupted one is not very likely to be giving a good impression of the grace of God that he or she may even possess. Satan is your adversary. Pray that God would help you to correct your flaws. Let this subject, that we've taken 3 periods of time to discuss with you, let it be strictly remembered. Strictly remembered. Not casually laid aside. Not something to be forgotten as soon as you walk out that door. Not something to say, I wonder what the preacher's irritated at me about today. I'm not irritated at you at all. I'm telling you that the Word of God teaches you and me to examine yourself whether you be in the faith, and to do it frequently. Let the subject be strictly remembered and be personally carried out by all people. It is ourselves who are to be examined, not others. It's not your job to examine your neighbor's life. That's his job. Your job is to examine your life. My job is to examine my life. We are not to be busy in testing and proving those around us in our community. That's not our job. The scripture says, examine yourselves. That's direct. That is exclusively. Each individual examine himself or herself. But folks, it is my personal fear that self-examination is much less pleasant than examining your neighbor. It's easier to see his flaws and point them out than it is to see your own flaws. Examining others is generally a much more pleasant exercise than examining yourself. But before you begin examining others, and I'll put in a human word, meddling in the lives of others, make sure you have counsel and command from God to do it. Where did God tell you to examine your neighbor? Make sure you're on God's ground of examining your neighbor. No, he said, examine yourself. We have scriptural evidence that this is a true fact that I just said, that God's word teaches you not to be concerned about your neighbor's conduct, but about your own. We can be instructed from the record, the scriptures. When we examine the conduct of the impetuous Apostle Peter, who was anxious to know what should happen to the disciple John. Did you hear what I said? Peter was deeply concerned about what would be the output of John's life. Turn in your Bibles to John 21. I'm pointing out scriptural verification that God never gave you permission, and certainly he didn't give you command to get nosy and meddle in somebody else's life. John 21, verses 20 through 22. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? That's what John said that Peter is reminding. Then Peter, seeing him, John, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter, don't be concerned with John's life. Be concerned with your own life. This is verification of the precept that we've been describing here for the last two or three messages. Examine yourself. Peter, your curiosity, your mouth gets you in trouble. Seeing John, Peter said to the Lord, "What about him?" And Jesus said, "Peter, if John lives or dies, what's that to you?" And then he closed that out with a very strict command. Follow thou. Peter, you follow me. Don't worry about John, whether or not he follows me. You follow me. So, let me close with this thought. To anyone who may hear this message, just you, maybe, but it may go out and hundreds of people may hear it. That's up to the Lord. That's not my business. But whoever hears this message, I want this word to go to you directly from God's word. To every one of you who hear this message, examine thine own heart. And in that solemn work, there will be so much for you to do. There will be so much for you to repent of, if you examine yourself carefully. There will be so much to amend or correct in your life. There will be so much that will claim your whole attention that prying curiously into the state of others will meet with no disposition or opportunity to be indulged in. There will be no time to meddle into their matters if you restrict this examination to yourself. I hope everyone hears that. I hope everyone that hears that comes to grip with that and say to themselves, the Word of God is talking to me. He's not talking to John. He's talking to me, Peter. He's not talking to my neighbor. He's talking to me. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. That's what the Word of God's teaching us. May His Word find lodging in your heart and in mine and in our understandings and in our apprehension by the Word, so that our comprehension of the Word might be honoring to God. The Word of God needs to take hold of you and me. We then need to apply ourselves to the commands of that Word and examine ourselves to determine whether or not our lives measure up to the standard that God's Word sets forth for them.